All right, let's take our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. Let's read a couple of verses. Go through a simple thought tonight. I think it'd be a help and an encouragement to you. It's very needful, I think. It's something we know, but I think we just need to be reminded of it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So I'm going to pray. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and we'll get into the thought this morning, this evening. Lord, we're thankful for, Lord, a good day today at church and a nice restful afternoon. Thank you for the time now we can sing and come before you. And we do this come before you as needy people, as Lord, we want to learn from you. We want to be encouraged by you. And as we open your word tonight, please just help and bless. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout the ages of time, you will find that man has always sought for answers on certain things. You may have, maybe in your own life, I know I have from time to time, maybe had some questions on things. For example, if you ask the average person out the street about God, they might ask the question, well, where did we come from? That's one of the questions people want to know in relation to things of God and eternity and things. Where do we come from? The Bible gives us a clear indication in Genesis 1 that God made man in his image. The Bible gives us answers to that. Some people might have the question, is there life after death? Yeah, I'm sure if you, what happens to us after death? Is there heaven? Is heaven real? Is hell real? The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27 that appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. The Bible gives us clear indication of there is life after death, and you will go to one place or the other. You can't be on the fence. You can't say, well, it doesn't matter to me. The Bible's very clear that when you die, you will stand before God, and depending on what you've done in this life, not depending on good works, but depending on what you've done with Jesus Christ, whether you have received him as your Saviour, or whether you've heard, maybe understood, but rejected, that's what will determine what will happen to you in your life. Some might say, does God really even exist? Is there really a God? The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." The Bible declares that God has always been here and God is real. And aren't you glad that we have God's word to show us the answers of life? There's always an answer somewhere. There may be things that we may not understand, the exact details of what's going to happen or what will take place, because we haven't experienced, especially in death yet, but the Bible is clear these things will happen. There's one other question, I think, that's around the world today where a lot of men would love to know the truth about it, and this is what we're going to look at tonight. The very thought that, can man have a relationship with God? Can man have a relationship with God? Or in other words, how does man see God in compared with themselves? What's the differences? Can we actually know God? Does God care about us? And all those sorts of things. You'll find, especially in my travels, I've come to see different beliefs, different thought patterns. There are some who kind of believe that God is out there and he's created things, but he's just kind of left things in motion. And God can do whatever he wants. He comes and goes. We have really no say in it. We can't really know God because he's God and we're man and we're separate. There is that sort of thought. There are others who see God as some hard taskmaster who can only be appeased by either works or some sacrifice. There are religions out there where you have to go through certain things to get to a certain level, which often is so unattainable that reality you can't even get to see God. You can't have a relationship with God. And there are people who believe that and base their very life and their practice and their family and their devotion to something that really avails to nothing. And there are some that believe God is in the trees and God is in nature, and there are those who believe that God is all love and God is all caring and God accepts everybody and everything and never judges any sin. He's an all-loving, all-encompassing, all-accepting God. God is all-loving, but he loves us enough to judge sin. And he loves us enough to die for that sin. And he loves us enough to pay the penalty for that sin so that we can go to heaven. In the text that we started with, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, gives some clear phrases. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, and that's Christ dying on the cross for us. And for those who receive Christ, that we should be called the sons of God. Have you ever thought about that? You may have memorized this verse. You may have learned this in Sunday school. You may have learned it through coming to church. But have you really thought about the implications of that? We are a child of God if we received his son, Jesus Christ. God makes us one of his children. That in itself is the reality of the relationship that man can have with Almighty God, as father and of son, or in this case daughter, a child of God, son of God. There is a relationship that can be had, and I want to encourage you tonight as we just look at just four simple things. How can you deepen your relationship with God? If you're a child of God and God is your heavenly father, is there anything that you can do that can strengthen, that can deepen your relationship with God? God is all you need. God can't be changed. He can't have anything to strengthen more on his end. But what about you? Is there some things that you can do to help, to strengthen, to build your relationship with Almighty God? And if you give me a little bit of liberty tonight, I'm going to, because we're human beings and we understand human thoughts, we understand human relationships probably better than we really can understand God. I'm going to use some things about, I guess, an earthly dad or an earthly son, or even just a physical earthly relationship that each one of you may have, whether it's a husband and wife, whether it's a dad and son or dad and child, or whether it's a work colleague or it's a family member. Relationships are abundant, but there's four things that I can see that if we work on these things, a relationship can be built. And so spiritually, if we work on these same four things, we can strengthen our relationship with God. The first thing I think about when it comes to relationships, and this is just these are very simple things, communication. They say in any relationship, communication is the key. Communication is fundamental in building a relationship. One of the first things, I guess I'll digress slightly into a different sort of relationship. When we bring on a new cleaning franchise owner, one of the things that we drum into them to be successful in your business is to build a relationship with each of your clients. It's the most fundamental thing, yet it's one of the least done things in all of our business. If you want to be a successful franchisee, build a relationship with your client. And the number one thing to do that is communication. Communicate with your clients regularly. Talk with them. Give feedback with them. Meet with them. Be with them. And I guarantee you, as a cleaning franchise, if you will do that well, you'll become a successful franchisee. In any sort of relationship, communication is the key. And it's no different with God. Communication with God is the key. You say, communication with God? You want me to talk with God? Yes. I want you to talk with God. Prayer is the avenue that we get to talk with God. Did you know that God invites us to pray? I hope you don't mind turning to a few scriptures tonight. We're going to jump through. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Jeremiah 33 verse 3, a very well known passage or verse, you may have heard it before, where it says, allow me to get there, it says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God gives the invitation, call unto him. Says, God says, I want to talk with you. I want you to talk with me. Imagine that. The very God of heaven's opening the communication line and says, hey, come and talk with me. I want to build a relationship with you. And he actually says there, call unto me and guess what? I'll answer. I'll hear what you have to say. And I will communicate back with you. Isn't it interesting that so often we understand that prayer is needful. We understand that prayer is a part of the Christian life, yet so often we make it so ritualistic that the communication of God sometimes is stifled just through religious activity. Communicate with God. God is very interested in what is going on in your life. God can see what's going on, but he wants you to communicate with him. We often see what goes on in our children's life, those of you that have had children. We will often see the struggles that they go through, and so often we would just dearly love for them to come and talk to us about those problems. Sometimes, especially when they get to a certain age, and they're now starting to make their own decisions, and you wish they would make certain decisions because you can see what's going on, they're involved in things, and sometimes we would just wish, come to me and have a chat with me about it. If you would just come, I would give you my advice. Share with you what I can see, and yet so often young people want to make your own way, and often the communication is not there. But God invites us to pray. God instructs us to come in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. If you feel like you want to turn there, you can. But Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God instructs us. Let us therefore come. God wants us to come to him. He instructs us to come. We can come boldly under the throne of grace. God says, hey, the door is wide open. I invite you to come. I want to hear. I invite you to come boldly. So often we have this thought that the very God of heaven is so far removed from us that all we can do is we can just stumble out some words. But he says to come boldly under the throne of grace. God really wants to hear what we need. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He wants to know. He said, let your request be made. I want to hear about it. I know God already knows, but I think he wants you to know that you have a need. He wants you to verbalize it. I heard one Christian say once, which I can understand where he's coming from, but I don't 100% agree with it. He said, God already knows what I need, so I don't need to pray about it. I understand his thinking, but God instructs us to. It's not like when we pray that God goes, really? I wasn't aware of that. It's not that. But God wants to know if you're really serious about something. God wants to have that communication with you. Just, have you ever had a problem and someone say, look, did you want to talk about it? And maybe you don't, but eventually you just open your heart up and they don't do any talking. But the fact that you opened your heart up and you said something, oh, I feel so much better. Thanks so much for that. And they've gone, I didn't even say anything. I just listened. We can do that with other people. Why can't we do that with God? God wants to hear. He wants you to unload your problems. He wants you to unload what's going on because he genuinely cares. He wants you to care about what's going on. Did you know that when it comes to communication, God wants to hear what you think about him? You ever thought about that? Psalm 48 verse 1. Psalm 48 verse 1 says, I wish I had all these written down. It says, great is the Lord. Let me make sure I got the right verse there. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. But when we tell God, God, you're great. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. God loves it when we communicate that to him. In Psalm 18, verse 1 and 3, 1 to 3, Psalm 18, it says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be safe from my enemies. They're the sort of things that God wants to hear. That you understand who he is. That he is your strength. He is the person that can meet your needs. He is the one that you appreciate. He is the one that you love. He is my salvation. He is my high tower. I'm going to call upon the Lord and let him know that. He's worthy to be praised. So shall I be safe from my enemies. God is interested when you communicate what you think about him. Did you know that prayer is a way to find peace with God? Prayer is our way to find peace with God. It's not just a way to get to talk to God, but it's our way to find peace with God. We read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it talks about, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. But notice what verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we bring things to God, when we communicate with him, when we tell him the things that are going on in our life, it says, after that, once we've done that, then the peace of God comes. Have you ever had some troubles in life and you're laying in bed and you're stressed about what's happening and the situations of the day is going through your mind and you can't rest because it's on your mind? You're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow because of that thing that happened today. It could be a sickness thing. It could be a financial thing. It could be a relationship thing. It could be a problem in the church. And you're stressed about it. Have you ever taken those things to God and said, God, there's a problem. There's a need in my life. I don't know what to do about it. I've tried everything that I can do to fix the problem and I can't do it. I need you. And then somehow you drift off to sleep. Because the peace of God passes. There's a verse there in Psalm chapter 3 and verse 5. It actually says that. Psalm 3 verse 5. It says, verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. So there's another word. I'm talking to God. The Bible just assures me that he's hearing my prayer. Then verse 5. I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. So many times we get so busy in life. We get so caught up in doing the everyday things, and problems will arise. They will come. And there have been times when I myself have struggled with something and I'm tossing and turning and I'm awake at 2 o'clock in the morning. I've just been on and off of sleep and I know the day is very fast approaching and I can't seem to sleep. And then it's like God reminds me, tell me about it. And I'm in the middle of the bed there just trying to, with my eyes shut, I say, God, I can't fix this problem. I can't do it. This is what the problem is. I can't do any more now. I need some sleep. And it's often then very quickly God says, okay, I'll take care of it. And sleep comes. Prayer is our way to find peace with God. One thing I want you to understand that communication is never a one-way street. Have you ever had a friend or an acquaintance or someone at work or even someone here at church that all they do is and you never get a word in? And every time you see them, you think, oh, here comes brother so-and-so. Because all he does is talk. Talk about himself. Talk about this. Talk about that. Talk about that. And you can never, and off he goes again. There are people like that in life that you can never, ever get a word in. And what they often fail to realize is Communication is not just one way. There has to be a two-way communication. And it's the same with God. God says, remember the verse we read in Jeremiah? Call unto me. So there's one-way communication. God says, talk to me. But notice what he says, and I'll answer thee. If you take time to listen to what I've got to say, I'll give you the answers that you're looking for. I'll guide you. I'll direct you. I will help you. If you have a relationship with a husband and wife and it's only one-way relationship, if it's the husband telling the wife always what to do and the wife never gets a say, or sometimes it could be the other way around where the wife just keeps giving it to her husband and it eventually it's never going to work. It just doesn't balance out. The right relationship needs to be communication, but it needs to be a two-way street. God invites us to pray. God invites us to talk with him, but we also need to be willing to listen to what God says. I want to read you a verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The way God speaks to us is through his word. That sounds like simple math or simple Christianity 101. We know that. But there's an interesting verse that I read just recently. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. It's God's word which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So when the preacher opens the word of God and he's reading the word of God and he mentions the verse and he explains the verse and gives an application of the verse, what this verse is saying is when you hear that, it isn't just the word of man, but it's actually the word of God. It's what God is trying to communicate to you. And if you take time to listen, if you take time to stop your communication, but now take time to listen, God will reveal some things to you. When it comes to big decisions in life, there may be the odd decision that is needed to be done straight away. But there are often decisions that you and I can make where it's important that we go to God and we say, God, this is the decision I need to make. I'm not sure which way to go. And we bring that before God. But then we need to stop and listen to what God has to say. It can come in your daily reading. It can come in through the preaching. It can even come while you're praying. Have you ever had times of prayer when you're praying, and as you're praying and thinking, meditating, and you stop for a second, a verse pops in your head, or a bit of scripture, or something that you know is just God has just sent? God wants to give you the answers that you desire. You just need to stop and listen. Don't be that Christian who is always in the ear of God all the time. I wonder if God ever is in heaven and he's listening, and I want you to imagine this. God's, And eventually he probably just says, a brother, my son, you done? Give me 1,000 things. I can answer them all pretty quick, but I want to tell you the answer, but you've got to be ready to listen. As children, you think about earthly children, when are they ever ready to receive instruction from parents? It's not often they want to hear. They want it what they want. They want it then. They want it their way. They think they know. And sometimes that's the sort of children we are to God. We know it all. We want to have the voice to tell, but so often it's hard to receive instruction from God. So communication is the first thing. In any relationship, including God, communication is utmost importance. The second thing is commitment. Commitment is the best way to show how you feel about somebody. Often think about the husband and wife relationship. Commitment is so important. Commitment to one another needs to take place. It needs to be there for the relationship to work. In commitment, when it comes to the child of God and God, commitment is placing God first before all others. Isn't that what we do in marriage? We commit that person will be the person we put before all other people. That's the person that we're bonded with. And it's the same with God. Let's have we read this morning, so I won't labor on it, but in Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Seek first God. That's our commitment to him. When we focus on what God wants, we usually get the answers that God wants for us. When we make God a priority and we communicate and we make that a priority and we just don't try and fix the relationship and the things ourselves, but we focus upon what God wants, you will often find you will get the answers and the things that you need. In any sort of relationship, if you put that person first, if you think about that person first and their needs, you'll often find the things that you desire and your needs that you need will often get met. It's not always about you, but if you focus on the other person and meet their needs, you'll find that automatically your needs will get met as well. Bible says in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Mark 12 and verse 30. Good way to get through our Bible tonight. Mark 12 and verse 30. This is the passage that talks about loving the Lord. Mark 12 verse 30 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." It's pretty deep sort of love. It's not just a verbal love that, yeah, I love God. Do you? When the Bible says loving God with all our heart, the world talks about the heart, often in their pop songs, their religion or their songs about emotions of the heart. The reason emotion that we love God in, but it's deeper than that. It's thy soul, thy mind, thy strength. Every part of our being needs to love God. Now, I haven't figured all that out yet. I haven't worked out how that all plays out. But all I do know is that if I put God first, if I committed to him and don't let those other things that we talked about this morning take us away, then I know I'm on the right track to developing that relationship. That's quite deep, that verse. But it shows our commitment. This will demonstrate, this is a demonstration of my love. I will consider the Lord in all of my decisions. I won't want to displease God in anything. Have you ever had times when you're about to do something or you're about to make a decision and you get that conviction that God kind of says, don't do that? And it might be something that, again, it may not be bad in itself. It may not even be sin. But you're about to make a decision, maybe a life decision, and you just kind of get this feeling in your mind. It's like the still small voice that says, don't do that. Ooh. Where is your commitment to God when he says that? Where is your commitment to God when he says, stop. Don't go down that path. Don't make that decision. Stay put. Or he might say move and you go, no, I like it here. I don't want to move. God may want you to do different things or he may instruct you. Remember you're praying, God, I have this need. And God says, well, I'm going to meet that need. I want you to do this. If you're committed to God and you're loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, spirit, everything you have, you need to listen and then obey. Do what God wants you to do. Don't push him aside. Communication, commitment. This is two simple ones more. Two simple ones. That's a really good English. There are two simple things left. Put it that way. Confession. Confession is very, very important with our relationship with God. We're communicating with him. We're committed to him. But every now and then, as human beings, we're going to make mistakes. In any relationship, who's ever had the perfect relationship where neither party have ever done anything wrong? I don't think there is a perfect relationship. Whether it's a husband and a wife or a brother or sister, mum and a child or a dad and a child or a work colleague or a church member and a church member. There's never been a relationship where there's never been any problem. Where someone's said something wrong, they've done something wrong, they've had an attitude, Just think about your own home with kids. There are attitudes galore going on that are often wrong. Kids fight, kids say things to their parents, they snap at their parents, and parents snap at their kids, and husbands and wife often angry and they disagree, and it happens all the time. But confession is one of those things which is one of the hardest things to do, because it requires somebody in the relationship to be humble. Think about maybe a husband and wife, and there's a disagreement on where you're going to go on your holidays. Dad wants to go to the beach because the surf's up. He wants to get his tan on. He's going to catch some waves. And the wife wants to go to the snow. And it's like, why would you want to go to the snow for? Because it's cold and they get to rug up in next to the fire. Won't that be so romantic, honey? And the guy's like, I want to go to the beach and swim and ride my boards. And there can be words backwards and forwards, but someone has to give in to break the deadlock or break the argument or to stop the continuation of this problem within the relationship. Somebody has to say, okay, look, you're probably right. It would be good to go to the snow and snuggle up next to the fire and everything else. But somebody has to be the one that says, I give in. Or if there's a problem, or if there's a contention, and somebody started something, or someone said something nasty, somewhere along the line, somebody has to say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I've had to do that. Laurel's had to do that. She's had to do it more times than me, because she's not here. Oh, it's been recorded. Sorry. We're all in that situation where we have to confess. Did you know, before God, we do things that are wrong? We displease God. Sometimes it is just outright sin. We've done something, we've said something, we've thought something, we've strayed with our minds, we've got angry, we've become lustful, we've become bitter, we've become jealous, we've caused problems, we've done things, and before God, because he sees it all, God says, hey, you want to have a relationship with me? I'm allowing you to come to me, but you come to me with sin and unresolved conflict. And even sometimes we can get so hurt in ourselves and our relationships, sometimes we can have problems with God. Why did you let this happen? I wasn't expecting to go through this hard thing. Well, why do I got to suffer? I'm at church, I'm faithful, and you make my wife sick, or you make my children sick. You make me lose my job? How dare you? People do that from time to time. They forget their relationship with God. And sometimes confession needs to be made. I'm not sure you remember Brother Raph, but remember you don't remember him either? Binstead. No, the younger one. Les Binstead. He was in Cairns, and he preached a message one night at the youth or something, and it was on 1 John 1:9. We all know 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That stood in my head. Never really understood that verse or even heard it before then. I was only fairly new as a Christian. And again, the word of God said something to me that I remembered it. And it's meant a lot to me, because guess what? I'm not perfect. I know it's hard to believe, I understand, but I've sinned in my life as a Christian. I've made some dumb decisions. I've said some things. I've acted, even said some pretty stupid things from the pulpit, just like that. But I'm glad that the word of God spoke to me when I was a teenager. And God kept that with me. And that verse is there that I'm reminded that even though I'm a human being, and even though I can mess up, even though I can do the wrong thing, even though I can think the wrong things, and I can even take the wrong course in life sometimes, that God says, if I confess it, if I admit to him that I'm wrong, if I humble myself enough to say, God, you weren't wrong, it was me, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. wash it clean. Restores that fellowship between me and him. It's very powerful. If you want to strengthen your marriage or you want to strengthen your relationship in family or work, be willing to humble yourself enough, even when you don't think you're wrong, be willing enough to say, I'm sorry it's got to this point. I can see my part in it, and I just want to apologize. I'm wrong. You'll be amazed what that'll do in a relationship. Sometimes, I don't think I've ever really ever had a big heated argument with Laurel, but there have been differences of opinions. And sometimes just backing down and saying, look, I'm wrong, can resolve things very quickly. Just take someone to be humble enough. The good thing with God is confession is a great thing. Can you imagine if God didn't give us that option? Imagine if that verse wasn't there. And God says, I'm just going to deal with you according to your actions and your works and your thoughts. Man, we'd be most miserable. We wouldn't have the liberty we have now, but God's given us that. What a great God we have. So confession is important. And the last one, and I think this is, I think it tops it all off. So we've got communication, commitment, confession, and then cooperation. When you are talking to God and he's talking back to you and you're committed to him and you're trying to make things right, keeping the relationship free of problem, and we're confessing to God, and then God starts to reveal to you what he wants you to do, you've got to cooperate with God. You've got to be a doer of the word, the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, the Bible says. You have to cooperate. And sometimes that can be equally as hard as just humbling ourselves. God may want us to do things that maybe we just don't want to do. God may request of you, you're praying to me about my need for you to get through this problem. I want you to do something. I need you to go to somebody. You want me to go to somebody and make something right or confess or tell them something? What if they get angry at me? What if they don't just go and do what I tell you to do? You may need to sacrifice something. You may need to give up something. You may need to step out in something. You may need to be bold. You may need to be a bit more timid. But whatever it is that God wants you to do, and it's usually only ever to benefit you anyway, it's only to progress the relationship. Can you imagine what it's like if you say, God, I have this problem, I have this need, I need your wisdom, I need some help in the direction I need to go, and God says, I give you some direction, and you cooperate with God and you do that, can you imagine how much that's going to strengthen your relationship with him? I listened to God, I trusted God, and I stepped out. I didn't know what I was really doing, but God blessed that, and God met me. And guess what? The thing I was praying about has now been resolved. What a great God. It's just about cooperating with God. The one thing I really enjoy about God is he never gives us or asks us any more than what we can handle. He never asks us to do any more than what he can enable us and equip us to do. After I left Cairns, after I left the Rafferty household, I moved back down to northern New South Wales where I was in a little independent Baptist church in a little town called Casino. You may know of it. And sitting under the preaching of God's word one day, just there was only a small group, less than what's here today, might have been maybe 15 of us in the little tiny CWA hall that we're meeting in. And as an American missionary, I'm sure he's thinking, well, there's not many people here, but I'm just going to faithfully preach the word of God. And he preached from Romans, I can't remember which chapter it was, but it came across a verse which says, how are they here without a preacher? And I was like 19 years of age, maybe 20. And it was there in that little church that God said, I want you to preach. And I was just single. I was the only one really in church. Just a young man. And I felt like God said, I want you to preach. And I talked to the pastor about it. He said, okay. He said, well, we'll see what happens. He was obviously maybe a little bit skeptical. that, a young guy, like, he just thought, it was just a fleeting thing. He said, we'll see if it lasts. Guess what? I'm here now. It never, ever, ever waned. That desire to be a preacher. Now, I've shared my history before where I stuttered, Tourette syndrome. I was not the sort of person that would ever be a preacher. Never. Let alone standing in front of people or even owning a business. That was never something I was capable of because of how I was brought up and because of the difficulties and the handicaps of life. But God said, I want you to be a preacher. And it's just like God said, communication. And I said, okay, God, I don't know what that entails. I don't know. Thankfully, the pastor soon realized that it wasn't going to go away and he took some time to start training me. And then he left, went back home. And thankfully, I was in church. I stayed in church. I didn't leave church. I got involved. And no matter where I've been in church, I've always tried to preach whenever the opportunity has arisen, whether it's in youth group, whether it's like filling in pulpit, whether it's at home when pastor's away, or whenever it is, I want to cooperate with God in what he's called me to do. Now, he may never call you to do that, but if he wants to do that, you need to be willing to cooperate, no matter how scary it seems, no matter how challenging it seems, no matter if you think you're capable or not, cooperate with God because he knows best. Now, I don't know all of, even at the end of, what's going to happen at the end of my life. All I know is what has been revealed to me, I will do my best to cooperate with God and obey. And you should as well. I want to leave you with one verse, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, Jesus, a very well-known verse. Verse 20, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. So often people will use that verse in salvation that God's knocking at your heart's door. But really, in its context, it's for Christians. Where God's standing at the heart's door of your life and he's knocking on your heart's door, Christian, and he says, if you'll open up, I want to come and have a relationship with you. I want to deepen that relationship. I will come in and we can sup together. We can have fellowship. The world doesn't know the real existence of God, let alone the fact that they can have a relationship with the God of heaven. You're in a very, if you are born again here tonight, and I'm only, those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, you have the most unique opportunity of all life. You get to have a unique, open, deep relationship with the God of heaven. Now I know you know that, but how about this week and this next, today's the 1st of October. Let's make October a month that we get to spend a little bit more time with God, talk with him, let him communicate back, confess some sins or confess some things that maybe have hindered you from having the relationship that is needed, and then start obeying, doing what God wants you to do individually. And then even as a church, obey what God wants you to do collectively as you move through this next years of Sunshine Baptist Church. God stands at the door and knocks and says, I want to have a relationship with you if you just let me in. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Thanks for allowing me to come today. I really appreciate the opportunity to preach, and hopefully that was a help and a blessing. I'm going to pray, and then Brother John, I'll get you to close as you want to. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the truths, and thank you that when we hear it, it's the actual word of God. Please bless, use, encourage each one of us tonight, and allow us to have the sort of week that we can say at the end of it, I've deepened and had a good relationship with God this week. Please help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.